The Regents LIBOR Transition Series provides an educational crash course on the not-so-basic basics of the USD LIBOR transition at an industry level. We're your hosts, Irina Pritchett and
Tyler Zinner.
This is Jean-Marc Fowler. I'll be filling in for Irina Pritchett today. Tyler, as we're recording this podcast in February of 2023, we're a little over 4 months away from the cessation of US dollar LIBOR.
Yeah, that's right, Jean-Marc. So Regions has been working on this transition for over 4 years now, and June 30th is just a few months away. So some customers may be wondering what will happen to their LIBOR loans that mature after that.
Well, that's the focus of today's podcast. So we'll be discussing loans that will fall back after June 30th of this year. And fallback is a term used to describe the transition that will happen to any LIBOR loan that matures after LIBOR is no longer available. So before I let you walk us through the types of fallback language and what they mean, I'll start by saying that this is a process that will happen automatically and doesn't require any action from our customers.
So that's right. Regions is going to handle the transition on behalf of our customers, but we want to make customers aware of what's happening. So regardless of fallback language, most customers will be transitioning to the same reference rate that's dictated by the fallback language in the contract. And there are three broad categories of fallback language that will allow an automatic transition to an alternative rate after LIBOR is gone. So the first one that we want to talk about is called hardwired fallback language, which is language that prescribes the rate to which the loan will fall back in the contract. So most hardwired language written in the past 3 years will be based on language from the Alternative Reference Rates Committee, or the ARC, and it'll prescribe a fallback to term SOFR plus a credit spread adjustment. And we'll talk more about credit spread adjustments later. But some older fallback language could prescribe rates like daily simple SOFR, prime, Fed funds, or even a base rate, which is usually defined within the contract as prime or Fed funds. So for all of these loans, Regions is simply going to transition the loan to whatever is laid out in the fallback language.
And the second and third categories of fallback language result in the same rate at transition. So the second category is loans that have language that allows Regions to select an alternative rate whenever LIBOR goes away. And the third category is small, but it represents loans that simply do not have adequate fallback language at all. And in both of these cases, Regions will transition customers to term SOFR plus a credit spread adjustment, which we're going to talk about. And that's actually the same step as the first in the ARC hardwired process that you were talking about earlier. We're doing that to align with the Adjustable Interest Rate Act, or the LIBOR Act. Can you tell us more about the LIBOR Act?
Yeah, sure. So the LIBOR Act was passed in 2022. And the purpose of the act is to provide federal guidance for LIBOR facilities that don't have any fallback language and provide protections for banks that choose to fall back to SOFR when they actually have the choice. So what it does is it prescribes that commercial or business loans, that they're actually going to fall back to term SOFR plus a credit spread adjustment, and consumer loans, like LIBOR-based adjustable rate mortgages, so they're going to fall back using a rate known as the Refinitiv USD IBOR cash fallback rate. So without going into too much detail on that, the Refinitiv rate is basically term SOFR plus a dynamic credit spread adjustment that will increase consistently for 1 year, so from June 30th to July 1st, 2024, when it locks in at the same static spread as the commercial loans.
And the LIBOR Act also provides guidance for LIBOR derivatives, which will fall back to daily SOFR compounding in arrears plus a credit spread adjustment. Can you tell us why that's significant?
Yeah, so that's true, and it's important to note, and here's why. It means that loans and derivatives will fall back using different conventions of SOFR. So this can result in a mismatch between a swap and a loan, causing a borrower's fixed rate to move month to month. So because of this, Regions has engaged customers who have swaps to try to amend LIBOR loans and swaps to the same index and convention at the same time.
And Tyler, we've both mentioned credit spread adjustments during this discussion. I know this is something that we've talked about in other podcasts, but could you provide a quick overview of what a credit spread adjustment is and where it comes from?
Yeah, so it's very important. So LIBOR is the rate at which a panel of banks will lend money to other banks on an unsecured basis. So therefore, it has this inherent credit component built into it based on the credit worthiness of those banks. But SOFR, on the other hand, it's actually designed to reflect the behavior of the U.S. Treasury repo market. And so that market represents daily loans between banks. Those loans are secured by U.S. Treasury securities. So SOFR isn't really considered to have the credit risk of a borrowing bank. So it doesn't really have a credit spread per se, as does LIBOR. So therefore, SOFR is historically a lower rate than LIBOR. So what the LIBOR Act does is it prescribes a credit spread adjustment, and these adjustments are endorsed by the ARC, and they're calculated using the median difference between LIBOR and SOFR between March of 2016 and March of 2021. So it's a 5-year period. So what that basically means is the ARC, and more specifically an entity known as ISDA, which stands for the International Swaps and Derivatives Association, they've calculated the difference between LIBOR and SOFR over pretty much a full economic cycle. So both rising rate environment and a falling rate environment. And they provided that calculation as the best available adjustment to make SOFR like LIBOR over the life of a loan. So Regions is going to use those adjustments to follow industry standards and also in accordance with the LIBOR Act in all of its loans that are falling back.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler. So we've talked through fallback language, we've talked about the LIBOR Act, and we've talked about credit spread adjustments. I want to make sure that we touch on the timing for when these changes will take place. And the most significant date to be aware of is the first London banking day after June 30th of 2023, which is known as the, quote, LIBOR replacement date that's referred to in the LIBOR Act. So these changes will take effect at the beginning of the next interest period after LIBOR cessation. So let's take, for instance, we know LIBOR is going away on June 30th. Let's say you have a loan that resets monthly on the 10th of every month. So it will begin to accrue interest using term SOFR plus a credit spread adjustment on July the 10th. That would be the first time after June 30th. So now let's review the main takeaways before we end our discussion.
Yeah, perfect. So LIBOR is going away as of the first London banking day after June 30th, 2023. So LIBOR facilities that haven't transitioned before that date are going to fall back based on the language in the contract and the type of product.
And Regions plans to rely on the LIBOR Act for loans that don't have adequate fallback language or loans that have language that allows the bank to select a rate.
So that means that commercial loans will transition to term SOFR plus an appropriate credit spread adjustment. Adjustable rate mortgages will transition to the Refinitiv USD IBOR cash fallback rate. And LIBOR derivatives are going to transition to SOFR compounding in arrears plus a credit spread adjustment.
And the credit spread adjustment is prescribed by the LIBOR Act, and so an industry standard, and it accounts for SOFR's lack of credit sensitivity and historically lower value compared to LIBOR.
So importantly, customers don't have to take any action. So Regions is going to handle the transition on behalf of customers, which will take effect during the first full interest period after the LIBOR replacement date.
And finally, Regions is mailing letters to customers with LIBOR loans that are falling back to inform them of the upcoming transition. If you're a Regions customer and you have any questions about your specific LIBOR-based loan, please contact your Regions banker. And thank you for joining us on the Regions LIBOR Transition.